one I love is gender, especially in like a very broad general news sense of like, hey, 49% of our readers are male and 51% are female. Why, okay, why is this part of a presentation? Does this change my decision-making in any way? Maybe if you're looking at certain beats, like a young family's beat or a professional sports beat, it matters. But you're just given information that can't be actionable, or you don't have an immediate need for it. So you're diluting that conversation with management or the reporter to say, hey, this is the number you need to look at, because this is gonna be a shorter conversation and you're gonna look at this report and I don't want you to study it for 10 minutes. I want you to study it for 90 seconds, because at that point you need to create action to move these numbers. I'm gonna look at a report of what my tech stack is. I need to make decisions on, do I keep this platform or not? You want it to drive to a decision. If you're just looking at it, it's, you wasted your time from moving the business in any direction.
Welcome to the News Nirvana podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. The News Nirvana podcast features conversations with media professionals from across the country, highlighting our ever-evolving business models and showcasing the strong and effective journalism produced each and every day. This podcast is made possible to you by the generosity of Town News. Town News delivers solutions, services, and guidance empowering local media organizations to thrive in an ever-changing digital world. Contact Town News today to learn more how they can help you thrive. Connect with them at townnews.com. Hello and welcome back to the News Nirvana podcast. I am your host, Nick Parker. I'm excited. We are getting going with season two in this fantastic project where I get to talk to people in the news industry from around the country. This is fun. We talk about the editorial side of things, the business side of things, advertising. Today we are digging back into conversations about data, about what to look at, why we look at it, and how it can help us get better in all aspects. My guest today, Kyle Rickoff from Align Simple. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for inviting me on.
You and I got to talk a little bit, kind of a pre-interview session, but I'm excited to have you on because you do a lot of work with newsrooms and editorial teams about setting their goals and how to work through and use the data to reach those goals to get better. And you do that because you have a news background. I think, as you said to me earlier, I grew up in the newsrooms and then went business and now came back to this, which I can appreciate because that's kind of the path I took. I started sports, went through as editor and then to the publishing side of things and the business side. But that kind of well-rounded background, I think, helps, especially now as you're looking kind of 30,000 feet with newspapers that you work with.
Yeah. I work with newspapers and, you know, broadcasters. And I mean, when you're in those management team meetings, you know, sales, circulation, marketing, they all got a number attached to it. And, you know, newsrooms kind of need to operate the same way, just simply so they can celebrate success. And to do that, they need to know what success is. And it's less disputable if there's a number attached to it.
Well, in our last episode where we started talking about data, we talked really a lot of more higher level like definitions of what it was, so that everybody can kind of see on the same page and we're all talking about the same things. I kind of want to go a little different track with you today, and let's go backward, because before we even start looking at the data, when you get into a new organization, the first thing you're doing is you're working with people to set the goals and how does that process work? Are you walking in and just, hey, here's a blank slate, what do we want to do?
No. So we launched this thing with like a data measurement. Well, there's an empathy interview. Like, what are you guys doing? What is success? Do you have these definitions? And a lot of them just like, is your website working? I've had people, including vice presidents, go like, I don't know. Like, it's, you know, they're usually the most honest because they're like, I see numbers, you know, because they're a little less attached to the day-to-day, you know, hey, traffic was up this or that.
Right.
So really, I sit down with them and we do a data measurement plan with like, what is your objective? So first column, what's your objective? And usually someone wants to jump to, oh, we want to grow users by this many. We want this many more visitors. It's like, no. Do you want subscribers? Do you want more B2C revenue? Are you trying to reduce costs? Are you trying to increase ad revenue? Like, what are those big things that your leadership, you know, your ownership is looking for? From there, then we can
start the big goals first.
Yeah. What are those, you know, what are those big objective pieces that are the company's objective? From there, we can go into, okay, to grow our total reach, you know, our total audience, here's a metric we're going to look at for top of the funnel, just to know that, you know, we have an audience here. And whether it could be cost reduction, where we want to do less social marketing spend. And there's been a lot of fluctuations with Facebook traffic, with media organizations as we head into midterms. And a few other pieces tied to that, where it's like, okay, let's look at how much traffic we're getting from our social posts that aren't paid, or other social posts that are coming from people that we didn't create but weren't paid. Like, let's narrow it down to what exactly we're looking for, instead of, oh, we want social traffic. And then ultimately, like, a number, which is, can be as just throw a dart at a wall piece of like, we want to double our traffic. Like, okay, sure, let's go for that. We'll back into it and refine it later.
But I think it would be hard sometimes to get with people that you have to dig farther than the, yeah, we want to increase social traffic, but then really kind of dig into what does that mean? What do you actually want to do? Because I think a lot of times, especially if we don't really know, we've never dug in on this before. Mm-hmm. That's as far as we know to dive. Is let's make this one basket bigger.
Right. And that's where it's like, should this be a bigger percentage? Like, you know, should social be a bigger percentage of our traffic? Should email? And I'm like, well, it's a ratio. Like, you want a bigger number. Like, yeah, we could just do less over here. But then getting all that on like a measurement plan kind of lays it out for folks, where it's like, hey, you have maybe competing things that you want more ad impressions, not more traffic, but you want more ad impressions, but you're also lowering your paywall. So like, hey, how does that work? So then we can go, okay, to do this and that, we're going to get to certain types of pages, certain types of users, certain types of traffic. So it kind of allows that kind of consensus early on, not compromise, but consensus on what are the company's goals? What does that look like in numbers? And then you can communicate that to your leadership and then up and down your org structure. But it does kind of start with that. What are the business objectives? And let's get really detailed with that.
I'm going to guess that probably one you hear a lot most of the time is subscriptions. We need to increase our subscriptions. Mm-hmm. So let's use that as an example. That's okay. You get in and that's the first thing you hear. Where are we steering the conversation, I guess, from that point, if we use that as the example?
I mean, usually that one will start to like, hey, we want to grow our B2C revenue. So, okay, from that, we want to do it by selling subscriptions. So they've already said, like, we want website subscriptions, not email subscriptions, other types of, you know, event payments, you know, one-off special events, white papers, you know, whatever it might be. So like, okay, we're talking that your newspaper subscriber.
Right.
And then usually the conversations are still around acquisition. Just like, hey, how many new people are buying subscriptions? So we haven't really got to, you know, increasing lifetime value, increasing retention, total users. So we look at, usually if we just pick two, how many new people and how many total users, just so you've got something there for churn. And there are no industry definitions for these things. Like, what a subscriber, what is a new subscriber? Like, we work with the company to like, okay, let's, how do you define it? If they are, if it is a new online purchase, does that count? Do they have to be a new customer to you within the past 2 years or in the past month? You know, if they eliminated maybe the print product or they had a subscription a year ago and now they did it, do you count that as new? So like, it really does kind of come to those definitions of what does a new subscriber mean?
How important are setting those definitions?
I'd say fairly critical, because if you don't, they're full of assumptions. Like, the most basic one, I think, is just like what a website user is, because we've been using that term forever. What a page view is. Right. Well, we've been saying it for 20 years and no one's asked how that's evolved or what that really means. And when you get to, you know, different levels of the organization or just the data maturity of the organization as a whole, one person might think a user is a person. The other one might think it's a device tied to cookies. Another one might think it's a unique login. Like, it really starts to come in like, no, you got to write that down and define that. So then when you come to review that, people are like, well, I thought it was this. Well, if it was that, it should have been a higher number because we didn't, you know, count that people are uniques.
In our last conversation with Allie, she talked about the importance of events, tracking events as much as you were just talking about users, and that really looking at what the event was that you're trying to trigger. Does that fit in there?
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely, so that's what GA4 and other platforms have moved to before them, is event tracking rather than like, hey, it's a page view or it's a hit. Remember hits? Like, as a term? Like,
what, can we still do that?
What is a hit? They came to the website, or they, every time something happens is a hit. So the event model really kind of came out of e-commerce, where it is like, we have a consumer, however we want to, I won't call them a user, I'll call them a consumer. What did they do? They loaded a page, they watched a video, they paused a video, they scrolled 50% down the page, they viewed an ad, they got a paywall pop-up, but they closed it. Like, any interaction is an event. So then you can start to tailor of like, okay, what are the events we want somebody to have? What is the experience we want them to go through? Because you're obviously, you're hopefully designing your site and your user experience towards your desired outcome, which would be, you know, buying a subscription, engagement, creating some kind of loyalty through frequency. So that's where it's like, it's less on page views. Page views is just one type of event of a page loaded. Now, there's a lot of value with what happens on that page. So that's where it's, let's look at these other things.
I was most curious, and I think the fun part of this conversation is that I am admittedly coming at this with no knowledge. Like, the data side of things is all new and foreign to me. I know, you know, this much, right? But what I was what's really intrigued me a little bit is when I was talking with Allie, and I think even in our pre-interview, you might have mentioned this too, that even if we're still talking about that one goal, right, the one specific thing of increasing subscriptions, one of the keys is to have data available to every person in the organization so that they can see how their little bit, their role in the organization, whether, you know, reporter or whatever, right, goes toward that goal. I guess let's talk about that a little bit, kind of in the context of what we're talking about here with subscriptions. So the different things that you're looking at, what are those things throughout an organization that you can do?
So ultimately, you talk about data democratization. So it's like, people have access to data. So, you know, everybody's accountable. There's no surprises. They know what the desired outcomes are. And some of that is you can't just throw a number at them. Like that's where it's like having goals, having conversations on, you know, we are in directionally heading towards success. So we're like within that, like you, people want to know that they're contributing, you know, like they want to know that their output, their effort, their time they're spending working right. instead of with their family has means something. Like they want feedback on that. And if you don't kind of provide a company directional feedback of like, hey, it did this, they're going to look at, oh, hey, I got two emails from somebody and they love this story. Well, did that drive towards the company goals? Or, hey, I got a lot of Twitter likes. Well, that doesn't necessarily reflect the editorial or the business application of why you did that story. So then it's again, avoiding, if somebody has like different feedbacks and they're bringing different numbers, you're just going to head towards conflict of, hey, we wanted this, but you're showing me this. Well, you didn't tell me that was what we were going for.
So, let's use that example then. If you're the reporter and the reporter sees, hey, I got 45 Twitter likes. I got a couple of emails that said they liked my story. What should we be looking at then? Because if we can't say, hey, those Twitter likes led to the goal or the two emails, we don't know what that means. What should we be looking at?
So that gets into how data is communication. So you want to make it clean and simple. So that's where, like, right now, I really want to go into like attribution modeling and like, hey, the weighted outcomes of like, hey, these are a leading indicator that someone might subscribe later. You know, it's really kind of keeping it as simple as possible on, hey, here's how many users, here's how many subscribers are viewing yours. We value subscribers. And hey, they.
So it's a weighted look at who's at the users.
Yeah, but I'd keep it like you could come up with they call them like a North Star metric of like, hey, this is the one thing that matters. And you could put a whole bunch of math to come up with a number. And there's programs out there that do that for you. Just like, hey, let's give an article a score, which is fine, you know, but then it creates, well, how does the score, how is the math? Because you're talking to a reporter whose job is to be, you know, very critical about any information that's given to them. They're going to want to know how it works and then, okay, why did you weight it this way? So that's where it's like, hey, this is the number of users. Here's how many subscribers. And then I would call, it's called like a straight line attribution to say, you know, it's, 30 days before someone subscribed, they viewed one of your stories. So you can just kind of give them a number of, hey, people read your stuff before going. And then leave it to a data team or management to go, okay, do these numbers correlate enough where if one's up, the other one's up. If one's up by 10%, one's up by 15% all the time. So then, hey, where are the fewer numbers I can present to a reporter to go, hey, you know what? Just look at this total user number and the subscriber number. You don't have to worry about the other stuff because I'm giving you information that they all correlate. So I'm just bogging you down to make the report more complex.
Right. So I like that idea of simplifying yet including everybody, or simplifying to include everybody, I guess is probably better.
The way I like to look at it, especially when talking to publishers, is like a sales rep knows how many dollars they sold and what the product is. Like they know those numbers before anybody, and they sit down and they have those meetings and they know what those numbers are, and the goals are different for different people. If you've got all of the auto accounts or, you know, the major businesses in your community, your goal and your expectations are going to be different than somebody who's a sales rep whose job is just acquiring new business. Like right. Your job is just to get people interacting with us at some dollar amount. Your other ones, like, hey, you need to have a high dollar value. Same thing with you know, newsrooms. That person doing crime and breaking news is going to have a different dollar value and a different customer count than, you know, someone that might be doing city government, which is just, you know, a critical part to, you know, the service that we provide our communities. But they need to know what those numbers are. If you're just kind of like, hey, here's our top stories, they're not going to see the value they provide in there. And it you know, so that's where you got to kind of have that conversation, have those numbers. And if you just surprise them with numbers all the time, they don't know, like, hey, incrementally I'm improving, or this is improving over time. So they need to have access to that. And their editors and their supervisors have to be able to talk through that and articulate that as part of the conversation, simply not on the, hey, we did this story, we got it done, it got in print, it got on the website, okay, let's do the next one. Kind of that review of, hey, did it match your expectations?
It sounds like there's really a lot of importance on that front end stuff of setting those goals, and why we're setting those goals, and then what we're looking at to doing it, just to get everybody's inclusion and buy-in. Like that first part of the process is the most important thing.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of approaches you could do with design thinking and stuff like that. But like, okay, who are you writing to? Okay, these stories work, these ones don't. You're the reporter. What are you going to do about it? You're the sales rep. Hey, you're not going to get more accounts. How do you increase the accounts? You know, like it's the same conversation. It's just, you know, managing performance. And the reporter has to be kind of like, okay, what do you want to do? What strategy do you want to tackle here? I can give you recommendations, but, you know, at the end of the day, you're the one who has to execute it. You have to have, you know, buy-in and expectations. If they come in on, I made X sales call, you know, hey, I did these stories. I had a high story count. I'm a great producer. Great. Does that mean that we got more subscribers or more traffic? And traffic, I would say, part of the service of our business can't just be like, well, it's a city council story, so we expect less traffic from it. That might be true, but if, you know, the service we provide is educating our electorate, educating our communities, it does matter how many page views, how much traffic that city council story did. We're just not going to compare it to, you know, high school evacuated.
Yeah, right. You're gonna get more high school football traffic than you are the city council preview.
Yeah. And it's eliminating,
as much as we want people to read the city council preview.
Well, yeah. It's just like, okay, how do we make it, if it's important, we got to make it interesting. We got to get people to read it. Hey, what's our approach here? Well, you know, what are we going to do? But that's one where you got to remove objections from the reporter, the editor, the newsroom, of just like, well, you know, it's a city council story, it's going to do less. Like, no, that doesn't work. Or, well, I can't get the kind of traffic this other person does because they're always featured, or, you know, they're doing crime. Like, why are you comparing yourself to them? Like, you got to have that conversation. And then, okay, based on what we have here, what do you think our target is for traffic? We want as many people as possible to read city council stories. What is that target traffic for that reporter? Because then you can start to do individual performance measurements, and just like you would a sales folk, you know, what's their individual plan? And it's not just produce more stories. We have fewer resources. I need to produce more stories. Moving, having more volume in stories, you're making more opportunities to get traffic. You're just making more bets, you know, that's out there.
Right.
So if you're more strategic about it, you can make fewer bets, you can write fewer headlines, but the quality, and you know that these are going to be well-read or high interest. So then that's where it's kind of balancing that piece of just, we want X, you know, we want X users engaged with us. We want X subscribers with us.
The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by Town News, the people behind Data Insights. With Data Insights, you don't have to be a data scientist to understand your mission-critical analytics. This turnkey solution separates the signal from the noise, empowering you to take decisive, data-backed action. When you're ready to give your team the potential of real-time data and performance indicators, visit townnews.com.
What is that process then of narrowing down at that macro level of I guess I'm curious how you actually use it then to adjust your content production. And I don't want to keep beating the same example, but we will anyway. So we've got a City Beat reporter, mm-hmm. and they're doing the city council stuff. Mm-hmm. Right. So what is that process of saying, okay, we know this is important. We know we need to increase traffic, subscriber traffic, mm-hmm. on these pieces. What's that process like to really narrow in and see how, I guess, see what adjustments need to be made?
Sure.
Is it about delivery or is it about content? Or is that what the data is going to tell us?
So, you know, if we're just talking about like website traffic, like, hey, how many page views or how many users viewed this story, you know, how did these users view everything you wrote, right? Like you're looking at that, like, okay, well, how many stories did you write? Like, let's start with production. Based on that, we look at each line item. Okay, this story got this much traffic, that much traffic, and patterns emerge and it's clear. And now headline, subject matter, time of day, was it sent on social? There's a lot of objections you will get from staff in this beat, you know? So acknowledge, but then, hey, okay, how do we grow this? Like these stories aren't getting traffic. Generally looking at multiple brands across the United States, it's that turn of the screw, like, hey, city council meetings this Tuesday. Hey, this is what they talked about at the city council meeting. Okay, you are putting a headline out there. You're investing time to write it because you went to the city council meeting. All right, well, you created a headline that pushed maybe better headlines down. Is it better to invest that into something else? Like, you went to the city council meeting. Do you have to write about it? Okay. Here are these human interest stories. This is how it impacts them. These stories do better. Let's invest in that. Like, what can we do there to have one really good story instead of two quick hits? And then it gets to in a B2C like subscription piece, hey, if that one story was really valuable to people, it's one of many things they viewed on the site. So it's part of their whole piece. So that leads to your subscription value. So having that constant page view, which is ultimately a conversation about ad impressions, is less of a focus.
Right. Well, it's another tool into that old lesson. You know, I'm going to think back to long, long ago in college, right? Where it's the, yeah, go cover the city council, but I don't really care about the meeting. Find the three good stories out of that.
Yeah, like,
because now you have real hard data that says maybe what you should be looking for those three stories.
Yeah, I mean, you're diluting the headlines that you're posting out there. Like, there's content is a commodity. Like, content is plentiful. Right. Attention is what's really kind of brought down, right? So in the supply demand side. So yeah, it's, do you really need to have that extra byline, especially when as much newsprint is actually going there, like the feed the beast model, like there's, the paper will get filled, the newsletter will get filled. So, hey, we want to curate, our job is to curate the news, and this is what's important in our community. So I'm not going to just show you 20 headlines and get you stuck on which one do I click. I want to be very directive. This is what's important. Here's why. Click this, because that's where we invested our time to create that one story, those two stories.
A good reminder that we do, as news producers, we do have that power, that ability to curate and to show where they should be going. We're like, what should be at the top of their lists?
Yes. I mean, so that's like the...
We can direct the traffic.
That's the value. Yes. That's the value like we provide, because the newsroom's only like, this is all analytics, statistics, like looking at your total production of like, how many things are you producing today? Okay. Well, on Facebook, your user is going to see a lottery of 1500 unique posts today. You don't have that type of content. So when it comes to like, oh, let's really program it and let's use personalization to identify what content they need, you got to look at like, what's your content library? How many stories are relevant today? How many are evergreen? Okay, how do we present those? So then it really comes more on using analytics to look at your production metrics. The service we provide is we say, in our community, we produced 10 local stories. Here's the one you need to read. Here's the second one you need to read. You should probably read these. You know, it's not a deep list.
Right.
On like a day-to-day piece. And then when you look at a user coming back every, you know, twice a week, which is be fantastic. That's good stuff. Okay, how do we kind of then filter to like, these are the important things. Like, that's the service we provide, editors do, by curating. This is what's on A1. This is what's ahead of our newsletter. We curate before it even gets to the website. So.
Right. I'm gonna kind of shift a little bit just on something you said earlier. You mentioned looking at trends, mm-hmm. and it seems like, tell me if I'm wrong, that it's almost more important rather than specific numbers to really look for those trends to see where the line is shifting. Is that accurate?
Yeah. I mean, all web analytics are directional. Like, there is no full count. If you're seeing a pie graph or like a web analytics, like, you're slightly misrepresenting the data, I think, because there is no 100%. Like, hey, of all of our users, X are from mobile. Like, you did not capture all that information. We don't know all this information on our users.
Don't make a mistake of thinking it's a zero-sum game.
Yeah, and it's just like looking at trend, because Apple will change how they look. Send information about email, and your email rates are going to drop. Like, there's a lot that are kind of like out of your control, but you need to be like aware of these changes. But hey, if our traffic is moving up and our technology, our data collection, storage, reporting methods are all pretty static, hey, we've got a positive growth here, rather than, oh, we had 242 people view this story and we had 892 view this story. Like, you're way in the weeds at that point. Like, it's just like, yeah, you've got growth. It's about double, you know. You can kind of stick with that. And that's what's harder about a lower traffic sites or lower traffic beats, is that variance between what's good and what's bad, is that margin of error just comes tighter and tighter, you know, where it's like, oh, this story did 10% better. That means a lot when the story's in the tens of thousands of page views. But if you're looking at a story that got 50 views and the other one got 60, you know, can you really say it did better? It's a wash.
Right. A little bit of a tightrope there, finding that kind of happy medium of, you know, of getting into the weeds, but also just trying to see the overall line chart. Is it going up? Is it going down?
Yeah. And all of that is just about, again, what are the metrics we're looking at? We kind of defined what they are, what the number is, so you can celebrate success. And hey, we're getting positive growth. Did we hit that number? Yes, no, maybe. but there'd be enough in there just to celebrate a win with someone. If it's going the opposite way, that's when you got to be, you know, concerned. If you're making all these changes and nothing happens, like, that's where we got to ask questions. So, I mean, that's really what you got to do to, you know, motivate staff is, you know what success is and to celebrate it.
I'm maybe putting you on the spot here. What's a good example of a success story that you've seen where you can say we've worked with a group, and you know, you don't have to call anybody out if you don't want to, but we worked with a group and we've seen the process work.
Early on, when it was, what is success on your website? And they were just very honest. They're like, oh, we don't know. Like, they're just running.
That's a great answer though, right?
I love that answer because, you know, because at certain levels, they're going to say, oh, well, we did that. Like, they're going to try to defend what's there. And someone just to be honest, just like, sometimes I don't know. That's a good question. I'm like, okay, well, where do you want to go? Like, where do we want to grow? And having just simply a measurement plan of objectives, goals, target numbers gives them a path of like, oh, here's my digital business plan. This is where we're going. This is what we expect to see.
Well, and I would imagine that probably there are a lot more of that than are willing to admit, like this client you were just talking about, because I think for so many of us, if you go back 15 or 20 years, right, we built websites because we were supposed to build websites. We got on Facebook because we were supposed to get on Facebook. A lot of people didn't make business plans for those, or didn't until they had to.
Yeah. So I call, so TM, I don't know. I didn't trademark it. It's just blind acceleration.
Yes.
I've talked to clients that are just like, well, what we're talking about here, like data, like, hey, I see large media companies, large companies over the past 2 years have had data analysts, data scientists, information directors, like, they're hiring these jobs. We should get one. Or we need an SEO expert because I talked to this owner and they had an SEO expert on staff. Like, they're just, I hear these things, I should do it. Rather than figuring out, hey, is that where you're at as a company based on your resources? Is that really the opportunity you're chasing? But then if you're putting dollars towards tech changes or staffing, like, does that actually drive usually revenue or audience? So right. That kind of like blind ambition into like data or ML. I had a conversation with one client. We were talking about like Google Cloud. I'm like, okay, well, hey, this is the stuff it does. And I said, AI and ML and machine learning and artificial intelligence, and they were all excited because, you know, it's something they can bring to ownership. Oh, we're leveraging this and it sounds really good. And then I was like, okay, we'll have that conversation. Had a separate meeting with them. And then in the end was like, you buy technology that has this. You don't do this. Your staff doesn't do this. You don't build it. Find technology that has it. And if you understand that, you can have your bullet points for your ownership presentation, your annual report of how you're doing it. But they just were so excited about these terms. They were like, oh, okay, how do we do that? How do we do this? I'm like, well, you kind of already do. Because in their tech stack, they already had two platforms that were leveraging it. They just didn't know. And that's the thing with SaaS right now too, is, you know, people buy stuff, but they don't keep up with all the great changes.
Well, yeah, it's kind of the double-edged sword of a lot of the technology things, right? Is it's so easy to just dive in. And a lot of times we do because our buddy next door does it, right? But we don't know all of what it does, what it can do.
Yeah, it's keeping up with the Joneses on, oh, well, they got a Cadillac. This is like the most dated reference I could. Like, oh, people in Joneses, oh, well, they got a Cadillac. So, hey, you know, Donna Reed, we got to get a Cadillac. But it's
well done.
I know. Well, it's wildly esoteric. But at this point, but like at that point, like, did you even need a Cadillac? Like, that wasn't that wasn't your plan. You're just trying to, you know, lead, just look around and chase it. And, you know, they'll buy software as a service as that, but then they'll do the onboarding, they'll do a kickoff, but as they update it, like Town News has done with Data Insights, like, oh yeah, it's different. We've changed. We've done these things. You got to kind of relaunch that with your staff and look at like, okay, what have I already bought that does this? Am I buying a technology that I already have that does this one feature simply because they just haven't kept up with it because they're busy?
With all of this talk about what's available technology and all of these things, it's I think it's always a good reminder to say this really all comes back to your original plan and, you know, your evolving business plan and those, mm-hmm. those goals. What are your goals this year, this quarter, this year, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And then find the tool that gets you there, that helps you get there.
Yes, absolutely. Cause that's where, you know, if you've got a goal, you're like, here's our objective, right? We want to grow this. Does this platform do it? And can I measure its impact? Can I measure that this does impact our total traffic by 20%? Because we did data architecture there to say, we can track when we post on Facebook and how much traffic we got from those. And the traffic from those exceed the platform and the staff behind it. Like that's a good evaluation piece around that technology and, you know, your resources for it.
Right. I just think keep remembering that simple part of it kind of can take some of the scariness away, right? Because I think if people like me or you know other people that you start digging in and you hear people talk about data, you know, your eyes glaze over and you get a little scared of all the math that might be involved. But knowing that it's really what you're talking about is you're talking about setting goals, you're talking about finding tools to get you to the goal.
Well, yeah, that's that. There's a lot of I like to say it like this way, like especially when it comes to like data reports, like you can make a huge presentation. We're going to have this graph and it's a line graph and then we're going to layer it on top of this. And do you need to show that data? Just because you're collecting it, does it impact the story of the business? Does it impact the story of where you want to go? Where if I give a report and I'm like, hey, here's a report you're getting every day. And it says, how much of your traffic's from mobile? Okay, pretty much, it's gonna be pretty static every day. So now the report as a whole, this whole side part's useless because you're not gonna make a decision from it.
Right.
So then it's like, oh, we know all this about our readers and our demographics and these pieces, and here it is. But okay, one I love is a gender. Especially in like a very broad general news sense of like, hey, 49% of our readers are male and 51% are female. Why? Okay. Why is this part of a presentation? Does this change my decision-making in any way? Maybe if you're looking at certain beats, like a young families beat or a professional sports beat, it matters, but you're just given information that can't be actionable or you don't have an immediate need for it. So you're diluting that conversation with management or the reporter to say, hey, this is the number you need to look at because this is going to be a shorter conversation and you're going to look at this report and I don't want you to study it for 10 minutes. I want you to study it for 90 seconds because at that point you need to create action to move these numbers. I'm going to look at a report of what my tech stack is. I need to make decisions on, do I keep this platform or not? You want to drive to a decision. If you're just looking at it, it's you wasted your time from moving the business in any direction.
Right. Always have that relationship between the piece of data you're looking at and the goal.
And the goal. Right. Because again, someone could just come up and be like, hey, this number's up. Okay.
Look at that one. That's awesome.
Right, because they're trying to search for a win to justify their past performance, and that's probably because there wasn't an initial goal setting and communication with that.
Right, right. Well, Kyle, I appreciate you taking some time today to kind of help us dig a little deeper into what data is and how we can use it. I really appreciate kind of your perspective on it and helping it really, I guess for everybody else, but really for me, help me kind of focus in on what I can use as I set goals. So I appreciate that. I want to give you an opportunity. If people want to contact you, follow you, how can they connect with Kyle?
I'm on LinkedIn, Kyle Rickoff. And then Align Simple is our group. We're a collection of data analyst experts, especially around the Google space, advertising, sales leadership. If you're kind of going through on, I'm changing my website, I'm changing my tech, how do I get a positive ROI from it? And a lot of what we talked about today is, okay, you've been doing digital for 20 years, but now as you look at OTT or how broadcast affiliation's going, or you really want to be careful with your resources as you drive towards subscriptions, we kind of walk you through that process with actionable steps and outcomes. And that's all with AlignSimple.com.
Well, Kyle, thanks again. I appreciate your time today, and I hope maybe we'll get to talk again and I'll have to come back with more questions on what I can do and what everybody else can do to be better.
Awesome. Thanks, boss.
Thank you. That'll wrap us up for this episode. We'll talk to everybody next time.
The News Nirvana podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or most any of your favorite podcast apps. The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Town News. Connect with Town News at townnews.com. The News Nirvana podcast is produced by Fredcast. Think, speak, act.